Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome. Here it is, Memorial Day weekend. I saw a kind of a man on the street interview type thing on TV this week, and they were asking random people what Memorial Day meant. And it's sad to say that a lot of them had no idea. They said, yeah, that signifies the start of summer. Or, yeah, we honor people on that day.
Yeah.
A few knew, though, that we honor those that give their life for our country. They lay down their lives for our families, and that we have the right to be here today. 1 week after Pearl Harbor, the attack, President Roosevelt said, "Those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them." See, freedom is never really free. It always comes at a cost of blood, the blood of patriots. But I want to say the biggest battle that we face today as Americans is the battle for the very soul of our nation. See, we're still at war, maybe not with other men in other countries, but if you look around, we can see it around us every day. The erosion of our society has been a slow process, but I believe it's accelerating rapidly in these later days. And it doesn't really matter if there's a Democrat or a Republican sitting in the Oval Office. The problem that our nation has come to know is the erosion of our moral values. The position we're in today is because of what we tolerated yesterday. And the position we're going to be in tomorrow will be because of what we tolerate today. But you see, history has a way of repeating itself. This isn't new. This isn't just for us, this country. In Daniel's day, he saw a lot what we're seeing today. He saw his situation was much worse than ours. In the fifth chapter of Daniel, he describes the collapse of a culture. And I believe that's what we're facing in this world today. A total collapse. You see, this culture becomes so relaxed and so comfortable and secure in the confines of their strong walls and the things that they were doing, they forgot about the outside world. Babylon made some huge mistakes. As I read it, I think about four of those mistakes. First, they lost all sense of remembrance. They forgot the lessons of Nebuchadnezzar. They lost all sense of reality. They paid no attention to what was going on outside their walls. They lost all sense of restraint, as we'll read about here in just a minute. And they lost all sense of respect. Respect of who they were and their respect of God. They felt free to do anything. They respected nothing. On this Memorial Day, it's my prayer that we'd be challenged as a people of God, that we would remember where we came from and how we got here. Let's look at the book of Daniel, starting chapter 5, verse 18. Says, "O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whoever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like that of beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven, and you have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Belshazzar's position and his problem was the same one that many of us face today. He'd forgot some valuable lessons from the past. The lessons like his predecessor Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the hard way. In Daniel 4:37 it says, those who walk in pride he is able to put down. And that's what Belshazzar was doing. He was boasting about himself. He picked up right where Nebuchadnezzar left off. Daniel 4:30 says, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? See, there's pride. And that's something we have to be careful not to fall into. We can look back on all the things that we own, all the things that we've done up to this point in our lives, and allow pride to well up in us and say, look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished, and look what I have amassed. But you know what? We're no different than Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar. It's the Lord that sets us up, and it's the Lord that can take us down. You see, pride always leads to a fall. It's right up on the top of the list of the things that God despises. But you don't have to take my word for it. It's in God's word. Just read about Adam and Eve, King David, or even Simon Peter, and you'll see what happens when you allow pride to enter in. America used to honor God unabashedly. We were proud to be a Christian nation. You go to Washington, D.C., and it's etched in almost all of the monuments. It's carved in granite so all can see. Pull out your American money and it's on there. We were proud to be called a Christian nation. There was a time that we credited him with all the blessings and all the accomplishments of this nation. But today, like Babylon, we seem to have lost that respect and that sense of remembrance for all that God has done for us, all that God has done for this country. We forget the cost that the patriots paid for our country to be where it is today. President Woodrow Wilson said, a nation that does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today or what it is trying to do. We're about a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about. What he's saying is we need to remember the past. We need to see where we started at and how far we've gone. We're going to repeat the same mistakes if we don't learn from them. But what was it about America that made us great and caused men and women from nations all around the world to want to come here? They wanted to settle here. What is it about America that distinguishes from the nations to the north and to the south? Well, I wasn't much of a history fan in high school, but I do know that Canada was settled by French explorers that came looking for furs and riches. Mexico was settled by Spanish explorers looking for gold. What sets America apart? It was settled by men and women that were looking for God and for religious freedom. And that was the driving force. They come searching for a home where they could worship God freely, where they could practice their religion without persecution. It's funny, Bob Jones mentioned 1942. That's the year of the Spanish Inquisition. Drove people away They were persecuted for their Christian beliefs, and they come to America. People come to America by the droves looking to worship. But we've fallen a long way from where we once were. We've gotten so far off our founder's path that now, if you read the news, there is much in the federal court about taking prayer out of school and religious inscriptions out of public places than there is in maintaining our other freedoms. And unfortunately, there are some similarities between Babylon and modern day America. And just like Babylon, there's going to be an expensive price to pay if we don't start remembering where we've come from. Daniel 5:1 says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. To understand how the king lost all sense of reality around him, we need to remember what was going on outside the city walls of Babylon. The Medes and the Persians had surrounded the city, but inside, Belshazzar is throwing a party. The Babylonians thought because of their history, or their great strength and wealth and their dominance, and their strong walls around them, that they were invincible. They were indestructible. The walls stretched for 60 miles all around. It was no problem, they thought. They could surround the city. But here they were, sitting behind walls that were so thick and so high, no one could breach them. They had a 20-year supply of food inside. So what did Belshazzar do? He threw a party. He lost all sense of reality. He invited thousands of guests while destruction was outside of the walls. When we begin to feel secure in our own strength, danger is just on the outside of these walls. Many people think today, just because I got away with it once, I'll continue to get away with it. But there's a day of reckoning coming, just like there was for Babylon. You see, the king was so blind and drunk on his own success, he didn't realize that the strength of his kingdom came from God. The strength never comes from an individual. It comes from our faith. And Babylon soon fell because they became corrupt on the inside and had no remembrance of what happened before and ignored reality of what was going on. Some people today foolishly think that God needs America to fulfill his plans, and he doesn't. God can work in any way he wants. And just because we're still considered a superpower today doesn't mean we're a superpower in God's eyes. I believe we should heed what God says in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We need to be careful. Just like ancient Babylon, when we think we're invincible. But we have to remember, you know, there was a time when Israel was the world's only superpower. They were one nation under God. Their motto could have been, "In God we trust," just like ours was at one time. But 3,000 years later, God gave birth to another nation. He gave America a law that was built on Israel's ancient commandments. We were settled on those commandments. So why should we think that America is invincible? Israel fell. Babylon fell. And we're no better than they are. It's time for us to remember where we've come from and what our values need to be. See, we face a danger of losing all restraint. As a moral decay comes, the restraint falls away. Daniel 5:2 says, "While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them." When a nation or an individual loses all their sense of remembrance and reality, they lose all their restraint. The Babylonians were too blind to see a connection between moral decay and national decline. Does that sound familiar at all? This verse describes what the Old Testament called concubines. Well, they were women that were kept around for the king's pleasure. They were invited to drink the wine from the sacred vessels. It was just one big party. See, Babylon had been given over to this excess, the sexual perversions that go on. And this is an example for us to pay heed to. Our society is bombarded with the same things. The perversions that we face comes from the movies, from the TV, from the internet, from our cell phones. And yet we let it continue to invade our houses. Men stopped leading their families. They stopped being leaders in spiritual and moral development. They've neglected their children and their wives in pursuit of material things. They become so busy with their jobs that they ignore their wives. And along with this comes marital problems, fidelity problems. And the wives, as a result, the wives begin to seek their own identity elsewhere because they're not getting the support at home. And this causes more problems. Then the children are left without guidance. And the moral decay goes on and on and on as we spiral downward. Much like the Babylonians, we've lost all sense of restraint. You know, it'd be so easy to turn the TV set off or get up and walk out of a movie. Filter the internet. We've lost that restraint. We put up with it. Daniel 5:3-4 says, "Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temples of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone." We see the crumbling culture of Babylon. While the wolf was at the door, they partied inside. They abandoned all the absolutes. They had no restraint. It was okay to use the holy vessels, to drink wine and share. It was party time. But then an amazing thing happened. Verse 5, it says, "In the same hour the fingers of a man appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote." Now this sobered the king up fast. Continues in verse 6, it says, "Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other." The king was so afraid his knees were knocking together. No longer was a party. The truth had come home. You see, now Daniel wasn't at the party. He was a man of God. Most people don't want a man of God around when they're drinking and having fun, praising false gods. They'd be a wet blanket. But when the handwriting is on the wall, when the crisis comes, they don't turn to their immoral friends. They're going to turn to someone that can help them. They're going to turn to someone that can tell them what it means. I imagine you've had people that are non-Christians ask you to pray for a friend. People will turn to someone that they think can help. They called the king's wise men, his soothsayers. They could do nothing. In verse 13 it says, then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you the Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Here we read, it says Daniel stood before them. And he did what every good preacher would do. He took God's word, and without fear and with strength, he simply revealed to them what God had said. Before he interpreted the handwriting on the wall, he preached a sermon in three parts. First, there was a word about power. Daniel reminded Belshazzar that King Nebuchadnezzar's power came from God. Verse 18 and 19, it says, O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and language trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whoever he wished, he put down. The second thing he told him was a word about pride. Daniel remembered him, reminded him that King Nebuchadnezzar lost his kingdom because of pride. Verse 20 says, but when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And the third word he shared was a word about punishment. 21 says, and then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts. His dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. King Nebuchadnezzar was punished until he came to realize that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses. Next, Daniel applied the text. He said, but you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. He said, you knew about the power, the pride, and the punishment, but sadly, you've lost all your sense of remembrance. You lost a sense of reality and restraint. You've lost all your respect. When we become blind to this, we're no different than Babylon. Our nation is following the same path. When we no longer remember our founding fathers, we no longer remember the reality of what was going on around us, we lose the restraint that we've had in our own lives, and we lose our respect for God as a ruling authority in our lives. In verse 25, he says, and this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in balance and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. You know, I think about this. I think about Daniel standing in front of a king and telling him what those words mean. That'd have to be intimidating, because a king in one word could have Daniel killed. But Daniel stood there and delivered the message of God. The three elements of his destruction. Basically, it means you've been numbered, you've been weighed, and you're going to be separated. Your days are numbered, judgment is coming, and you will be separated from God for eternity. The fifth chapter of Daniel concludes with these words. It says, that very night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received a kingdom, being about 62 years old. You see, while Babylon partied, drinking their wine, they had no sense of restraint or remembrance. The armies of the Medes and the Persians, they diverted the Euphrates River into a swampland, and they marched right into the city on a dry riverbed. They took the city that night. See, God's judgment is certain. There's not a wall high enough or thick enough to prevent a person or a nation from falling for what God has written. Numbered, weighed, and separated. Who knows how close we are to our number being called? How close are we to facing God's judgment? Well, nobody knows the day or the date. Nobody knows when their life will end. But I do know we need to remember where we came from and where we're going. If we forget these things, then everything will be okay. We'll lose our moral compass. There have been very few nations that had a history like America. For over 200 years, this country has been a light to the world around us. We've been a launching pad for gospel, literally going around the world. But there's nothing about America that gives an exemption that neither Babylon or Israel had. It makes me sad when I see people, places taking down their American flag, they say, because it's offensive to some people. Our flag isn't offensive. Our moral decay is offensive. We once were a proud people, but not proud of ourselves. We were proud of the God that we worshiped, and the fact that we had a country where we could worship. You know, for all of us, our days are numbered. All nations, their days are numbered. But we need to have a sense of urgency now and re-examine ourselves and the part that we play in the moral aspect of this country. You know, we can't just sit back and allow it to happen. We have to be a voice. We have to be an example in the way that we live our lives, that we're not going to just go away. This Memorial Day, we need to remember those who gave so much. They gave their very lives for this country, for this Christian country. And we need to think about our past. We need to remember those men and those women, the blood that was shed, and the responsibility that we have today to continue forward. Some of you here have children in the service right now. Our prayers go out for them. They're serving their country proudly. We need to remember what Daniel 4:32 says, the Most High still rules over the affairs of men. So how do we change things? What can we do as individuals and as a group? The first thing we can do is pray. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, whether you like Congress, the representatives, it doesn't matter. You see, God is in control of all of this. It's not about politics. It's about morals. So we need to lift them up in our prayers. that God will speak to them and God will use them to lead this country. We're not without hope. With God, there is always hope. But we have to do our part. We have to be examples. Let's all stand together. There's something else very special going on today. And that's graduation ceremonies. And I was sharing at Sunday school this morning, I was reading one of the news feeds before I come in. And they were talking about travel and safety. And there was an article, one young man is not going to see his graduation. He was killed last night in a car wreck. 17 years old. We need to pray for our youth. We need to pray for the families today, safe travel. But most of all, we need to pray for these graduates, that their heart would be open to God, that they would be led by God and not the world around us. They are our future. Our future needs to be led by the word of God and not the word of man. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Father, I just praise you that you inspire men and women to move forward in your name, Father. Some right to the point of giving their lives, that we might have the right to worship freely. So much has been given for this country. And Father, I pray for our country today. I just ask that you will instill in your children a desire, a strength, and the wisdom to speak out against the moral decline, to honor those that have went before us, to honor their sacrifice by the words that we speak and the actions that we take. Father, I come to you today and I just ask you to protect the graduates and speak to their hearts, their families, Father, that they have an enjoyable day, but they be safe and they be guided by the word of God. And Father, I just ask that you would bless this country and continue to use us to make a difference in this world. Continue to use us as an example of a Christ-like life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.